BBL Drizzy.
Is that the Metro Boomin, the thing he released? He put out. He was like, if you do the best verse, you'll be a feature on this.
Yeah, he upped it to you get $10,000 and you get a free beat. And then second place will still get a free beat or something like that. So,
all I have to say about that, Danny, is I feel as if I need to understand the criterion in which they'll be judged. And is it going to be a double blind? Like, how are we going to reduce implicit biases that Metro Boomin may have?
Sure.
How can we make this an equitable application process so that everyone is feeling comfortable in the atmosphere and feels as if they have an equal opportunity to get to that spot? How do we win? Effectively, he's giving a job application to become a rapper that is going to probably be able to make a little bit of money rapping for, like, if you're not even that good, like a couple months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Basically, you're going to get monetized on every platform, and like you probably will make like all of your drinking money that you would ever want at a minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a job application. So what I'm saying is.
Oh, man.
So what I'm saying is. I need to understand what the qualifications are and how are you going to judge what the best one is? Because I'm just saying.
Spencer, are you going to get in the booth? Are you trying to get in the booth?
No. I'm just saying we all need to know.
I don't know.
I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I worked really, really hard on sending something in that I felt was actually good? And then never get picked anyways. But would it be fun to just try to do that and just as an exercise? Maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm not going to do that.
I mean, the kids are going crazy on the beat. They're going crazy.
I mean, that's
on the
really
beat.
Fun. I love the take a seat, rap on the beat account. Like, that's always a really fun one. Like, people are way too good at rapping, is really what that showed me. Like, I would never take a seat and rap on the beat.
Dude,
but
it would be something
I had already written, obviously.
Yeah. Of course.
And that is the age old thing. If people are straight freestyling on that show, I'm like, that's insane.
Sometimes you can tell they're like bouncing off of like a written bar and then they go from there. But then when they're like really, really freestyling, it's like, damn, that is a skill. That I think that is a separate skill from like songwriting a little bit or whatever. I don't know. It's all I'm saying. It's hard and it's cool.
Well, that is where one of my favorite rap based memes comes from, is I believe it was a freestyle on like 106 and Park or something, but it was King Chip. And it's the interior crocodile alligator.
Yeah.
Something movie theater.
I'm losing it. Oh,
interior
no.
crocodile.
I mean, I should know it too. And yeah, we're losing all our credibility here.
The thing is, that's crazy. Is like, that's a meme, dude. King Chip is dope. And the funny thing is, he does rap basically in the sound of those words. Like, he hits a lot of that feeling of words that are put together.
Yeah,
that just make more sense. But I was like, oh, but he can also, that's really interesting to hear someone, like, I'm like, you're nailing the way that you like words to feel, like your flow. That's, I think it's like his little, the thing that he seems most interested in, because all rappers have like one of their favorites, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like his. And I was like, it's crazy because it's a perfect encapsulation of what I like about his actual rap. But it's like kind of a word salad.
I drive a Chevrolet movie theater.
Yeah. But it's like, dude, that sounds smooth.
Yeah.
And then you listen to him on like a Domo Genesis album. And you're like, holy shit, he's the best part of this whole album. Like, and this is a good Domo album. This is not bad.
Yeah. Underrated for sure. Man, what a time to be alive. Welcome to the DMGT podcast. I am your host, Danny.
And I'm Spencer.
And speaking of bars and getting in the booth, we're going to get to it, folks. Don't worry about it, but we're not going to start there. We're going to switch it up on you. We're going to switch it up. Mostly it's to time box myself.
Yeah, well, thank God.
Jesus.
You know, have you noticed that In our text thread of our male friends.
Literally no one has responded to my shit.
Except for me. Yeah. And I'm like, Danny, I already have to talk to you about this stuff.
I know, but...
And have you... I'm just saying, read the room. That's all I'm saying. No. And that's on behalf of Jay, Pat, and myself.
I refuse.
I'm not saying that we have talked about this, because of course we haven't. That's the only place we all communicate. Why would we have separate conversations? It's too easy.
Oof, I'm finding some... Maybe I should write a diss track about you three. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you should. And no, the answer is...
I will not.
Hey, don't make stuff up. I won't tell truth about you.
So, yes, but we will be talking about the Drake, Kendrick, the beef, because it was a wild weekend. Microsoft, what the hell are you doing with Xbox and the brand? It's getting kind of sad, actually. And just some stuff, like stuff that we're playing, stuff that we're researching. We're going to talk a little bit about video game stuff. Yeah.
We're going to start a new thing.
Let's do it.
Make it a little easier listening. Yeah. Maybe a little more consistency. Yeah. And honestly, I think part of it is because when we really do it based on what's happening currently only, we end up having to talk a lot about like Apple, because they'll just take over like 2 months of the news cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Of tech. And then you're like, cool. So it's either we talk about layoffs or... Maybe there's a new iPad that's going to like be good, but also take something away, because that's just, it's always a monkey's paw with iPhones, with Apple stuff now. It's
literally,
like, that's cool.
Yeah, literally.
But we have to take
iPads
away
today.
One thing.
Literally the iPads at the end
right,
of today.
Right, exactly. So it's like, so what we want to do is instead talk about things that are just currently going on in our individual lives of like, what are we playing? What are we listening to?
Yeah.
Or like, what are we researching that maybe we're not trying to bother the other person with, in kind of the things that we like the most. So Danny, do you want to kick off this inaugural section?
I would love to. I have been listening to a lot of Dua Lipa. She dropped an album this weekend. Which I was like, I needed to take a break from the other stuff, and I was like, this is a fun pop album. I will say it wasn't my favorite of hers. I think it was going to be really hard to live up to Future Nostalgia. Because, man, that's such a good damn pop
album. It's a tight
album.
It's a very tight album.
It's so good. So, but it's there. It's good. It's still a fun album. I just don't know if there's like a summery bop in there. I have been liking that new Sabrina Carpenter kind of hits. Espresso's kind of hitting quite a bit. But there is a band that I discovered that's pretty small time, and I got to
hold up. I have some thoughts about Dua Lipa. This isn't just monologues.
My bad.
This is the opening of us talking about this, because I'm so glad you brought it up.
Yes.
All right. So Dua Lipa, my thinking on the album so far is kind of something that she took the steam out of herself on the Las Culturistas podcast that Christine listens to. She was on it. Great podcast. Definitely listen to it. Hilarious all the time. And they don't always have guests, but when they do, it's always fun. But Dua Lipa was on there and basically was like, I don't care that people say that a lot of my music sounds similar. I'm making it.
Yeah.
I'd hope it would be similar because I'm the same. Like, I'm a consistent person.
Yeah. That's,
she's like, I like what fair. I like. And then she was also like, we also just used a bunch of different stuff on this new album, like sonically, and like the instruments are different. The way we did it, approached it is different. Says all of this stuff. But I also will say, when I listened to this one, when I listened to her last album, I'm like, it is very similar. And that's not, again, it's not a bad thing, but it is definitely a thing with, I think that's like, and she, you know, I think the weird thing about Dua Lipa is this is only 3 albums in. And as a pop star, like a mainline, because I would put Dua Lipa in a mainline pop star. Like she's there now.
She's there.
I would
now,
say
for sure.
After
for sure.
Future Nostalgia. She is 100% above, you know, she is in the top echelon. There's also, and then there's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like she's in that
That first year, after.
I have a billion streams on one single song group. But I also think it's pretty early in a pop star's career in the sense of three albums for a pop star is not that many because it is a constant
cycle
of output. At least most of the time it's every 2 years like clockwork. And like with Taylor Swift, it's kind of changing it to a different, that's going to affect people. She's released like three albums in the last 18 months.
So I think thinking about that,
it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of a pop star's career, because often consistency is important for longevity in pop in some way. Once you get to a certain size.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it'll probably be something like Dua Lipa might feel more like a rock band changing their sound, where it's like you have to do it slow or people get mad, because it is really she's doing it in a specific way that I don't think everyone, there's not a ton of similar stuff to her in terms of like the sound she's most interested in.
Like,
and her BPM is very, that's the thing that makes it feel the same, dude. Her BPMs are like plus or minus five.
Yep, consistent. Super
like that's
consistent.
That's the reason why it sounds, I'm like, if you just varied your BPMs, it would sound different. But basically, I'm like, you can technically, since it's a pop record, and I don't know music theory enough, Danny, but I think you can sing any of her songs over any other song, and it probably works well enough.
The I think the thing is like, which one was it? One of the newer, the new songs, one of the singles that
Houdini,
the one afterwards,
Training Season.
There's an acoustic version. She did acoustic versions for all of it, but Training Season's acoustic version in particular is really, really good. So it's like,
switch up
the production a little bit, like on one or two songs on this one. And it's like, and I think you have like a really strong song. Now, maybe it's not like the pop banger, but maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe it is. You don't know. Like, take a little bit of risk there. But I totally understand where you're coming from about the needing or the standard of like consistency for a pop star of her caliber now.
Now, you know what I would be intensely excited for? If Dua Lipa somehow did a full album with Daft Punk.
Damn. Because
I feel
she would
fit so good as like the star of a Daft Punk album, in like Daft Punk, like coming from their last album vibe, where if they're continuing to build that, because she is like, I feel like there's so much overlapping there in terms of what she's really interested in, what they were. It would be, I think it would be like, people would be like, all right, so we just can't do this type of music anymore.
Yep.
Like it might be like that point in the cycle of like 80s glam electro pop stuff.
Yeah.
It might just be, that's it.
Hey, Daft Punk, that one's for free. Dua Lipa. That's banger.
Honestly, it seems like it's a way for all of you to make $1 billion.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
Like, it feels pretty easy to do. It feels right there.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. It's a fun album. I like it. I'm not saying anything that I don't like it or I think it's bad at all. It's just like, yeah, it's a fun. It's hard to live up to like, you know, some of the songs on Future Nostalgia, I think.
I mean, she released a classic. It's hard to follow up a classic.
It really is.
A really good album is a great classic follow-up.
Yep. So I'll take it. And then like a quick little shout out. This one's a little bit more my wheelhouse. I don't know how much you'll like these, but this is a band that I discovered. Very small time, 8,000 monthly listeners. They're called With Sails Ahead. They are a post-hardcore with a female vocalist.
Okay, I mean, so far you're speaking literally my language.
But it hits a little bit more on like the...
Industrial?
No, like the metalcore, pop punk side of like post-hardcore world. But the girl throws down some growls. I'm like real deep, like, you know, I can't do it, obviously. But I was like, oh, shit, that's metal as hell. So those are cool. And then it's like not a bunch of, but some slight like video game and anime references here and there, but not like over the head, which I appreciate. So it's not like kind of like corny. And the musicality is good. The production solid for a small band, like pretty good for a small band. So cool. Just shout them out, With Sails Ahead. They just dropped an album Infinite Void.
Send me their Spotify Infinite Void. Stuff.
Yeah, for
please.
Sure.
Infinite Void? I mean, it literally sounds like it's... I'm like, okay, you're talking about voids now? Let me guess. They mention bones in their lyrics? If they do,
I guess so.
If there
yeah,
is
yeah,
a
yeah,
mention
yeah.
of bones, I... Like, you literally put all the pieces in a row where I, to be consistent in my personality, preemptively have to say, this is probably a band I really, really like and will become more interested in than you.
It's a... It might hit a similar range to that Irish band that you had showed me that one time.
That's the first person I was thinking about when you were interested. I was like, okay, so this sounds great.
But it's good. It's good. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Hades. Well, not a lot, but Hades 2 dropped early
okay,
access
tell me,
earlier.
Tell me all about it. Okay.
Sorry, Spencer. No. Before I start, you go. Okay. All right.
Just start. I'm just so fucking. I'm upset and with myself.
Hades 2 dropped. Supergiant Games just announced that Hades 2 was available as of yesterday in early access, exclusively on Steam.
Very exclusively.
You cannot
to the
play
point of
anywhere.
Not being on PlayStation.
No, you can't play anywhere but on PC on Steam, baby. And I picked up that bad boy. Usually, I'm not a like. Big early access, especially when I'm paying for it, and beta stuff. But like Supergiant Games got the benefit of the doubt with Hades, which was my 2020 game of
all
the year.
All it takes is like consistent classics in the type of genre they do.
It immediately felt fresh. The visuals are super tight and poppy. The combat is different. It's unique. But still familiar to Hades. The pattern of the runs are cool. The way that you expand your abilities are much different, but still very cool. You're like a witch, and they do like they lean in onto that theme of like the cards and like the staffs and spells and stuff. It's tight as hell. And I've only played it for like 3 hours. It's really good. And yeah, you should be jealous is what I'm saying, basically. I feel like I was in the video gaming lull a little bit. I feel like Dragon's Dogma started really high, and then I kind of like it just like tapered. And the last like couple of weeks, I've been like, playing MLB a lot. And then I turned on Hades. I was like, this shit hits immediately. Yes. Like, I feel reinvigorated.
Yeah.
It's good. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So, the reason I was stinky about this is because Danny, I don't think you don't understand. Like, Hades is like top one or two, three games ever for me.
Didn't know it was that high for you.
Yeah. Like, because I came to it late, because I came to it when it came to PlayStation.
Right.
So I didn't play, like, so I missed out for like a year. And so you had gotten over it. You were like, yeah, I'm done. I already played it. And then I was like, I started playing it, and then like 3 months later, I was like, hey, I 100%ed everything.
And I was like, what?
You were like, what?
When?
And I was like, yeah, I think I put in like 150 hours. And you're like, wait, like, what? And I'm like, yeah. I couldn't stop, and I wanted to do it again. And I almost did, and I didn't. But like, I love Hades. So I really want to play it. And so yesterday, Danny's like, I'm getting Hades 2 right now. And then I instantly, for like, an hour and a half was like going, looking at every handheld device that could run it. I'm like looking at the specs. I'm like, all right, literally, like, what is the cheapest way I could play this game and play it enough so I feel okay? And then like, do I have like 28 days to return it or something? And like, just have to like decide to stop doing the rest of my life? Like, I was, all of these things were happening. I was even considering, I was like, Danny, what if I sell the PlayStation Portal and we sell those mics that I bought, and we buy a handheld, and then I just play it for Hades until I'm fine, and then I'll just give the handheld back to you. I was going to pitch that.
Oh my
and
God.
And then I was like, this is not, I like, and so now I'm like, I never want to feel this way again. Maybe I need to do it. Maybe I need to bite the bullet and think about a PC. Because this feels bad, and it's really the first time I've ever felt this way. I've never, like, all the other games that are PC exclusive, I'm like, whatever. But this one, I'm like, I am so mad.
I literally texted this to you earlier, because you're like, I considered getting a Steam Deck, and I'm like, oh, this is the system seller for you. This is going to be your PC system seller.
Yeah. That is something that will crazy. Come to PlayStation 5 at crazy. Their formal launch. They will definitely release
for sure,
it on PlayStation.
For sure, you're going to be waiting for a while. They literally just said, hey, we expect this to go through all of 2024, the early access stage. And what excites me the most, I'm sorry, Spencer, I'm sorry to do this to you. What excites me the most is, like, I'm going to have a year of added content to this damn game.
Yep. Yeah. It's insane.
This is the best. This is the best. Yep.
Like, did you watch the...
It already feels so polished. It's the thing. I can't believe this is early access.
Did you watch the no clip about Hades 1? It's like a six-part, eight-hour
documentary. Oh, no, I haven't seen that. No, I haven't seen that yet.
So I think now that you're playing Hades 2, you should go back.
Because
the alpha, or the early access for Hades 1 was similarly, people were like, wait, this game isn't, ready? And then it was in early access for, 18 months. And, everyone was just like, how did you do this? wait, now I'm still excited to play it, even though I've been playing it for two years almost? it's really interesting. So, yeah, that's why I'm also so upset, because it seems like such a fun part of... You get to be so involved in the process of this game coming to release. And I think it's such a cool thing that they... are able to do, and they're so confident in what they're doing. It's also a humongous flex.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts that at this level, you drop this, and it's, I think, pretty close to a Game of the Year candidate, I'd say. If not straight up a Game of the Year candidate in its current state.
And literally,
it's wild.
From what they have said, they're there's already... more the amount of time it will take you to get through all the content we currently have is more than the whole Hades one.
It's
we already have that much stuff locked in, and we don't even have the ending of this locked in story wise.
It's terrifying.
That is awesome, because that's the thing that makes that game one of my favorite experiences of gaming of all time. Is for 100+ runs. 200, it's so many runs where there is unique, bespoke content you can consume. And it goes on for such a long time that it took me 100%ing the game to realize that I wasn't going to get anything new from anybody. Except maybe just they might go back and give you something from, nothing new. It's just
It just might be tweaked.
Yeah. And then I'm pretty... If I remember right, they just, you can't talk to them at one point.
They're just
we're out of it. But I literally did it all. And to think that there's more already, I'm like, this is gonna be rough.
The discovery that they added, the small level, they added a tiny bit here. One of my favorite things has been so far is that the stages, sometimes they throw in little tidbits of lore or resources that's different from Hades 1, where it's only when you finished a run basically is when you got stuff outside of money for killing the enemies. And it's like,
you would run into people though, and
just
that?
It's more than just that. They sprinkle. Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but they sprinkle additional. So it feels like you're also discovering stuff.
Yeah.
On the side.
Game like this is, it's not really as long as you're not giving me story spoilers, the mechanics are something that over time they're basically so varied that it's almost who cares if you remember some of them? You know what I mean? It's that's the amazing thing about the system they've created, where it's there's so many legitimate combinations that at the very least are interesting to try that it's hard to spoil the game, because it's it's too big of a story to spoil if it's bigger than Hades 1.
Yeah.
How do you explain the story of Hades 1? Yeah, you could, but it doesn't really tell you anything about what the story really is.
And Hades 2 doesn't really, well, kind of picks, it's a little, it's different. It's hard to explain without kind of spoiling, but not really. It's good. Highly recommend. Wait. Should be a system seller for you.
So, just to kind of go over on that side, because I wanted to talk about a couple of video games that I've been playing. Honestly, it's been a boring start to the year. Like, I think that because I was playing, like, I know when things are not great is if I'm playing too many games on my phone. Like, if I can't even be bothered to, like, turn my PlayStation on to, like, look at the store. Like, it's a rough, it's a kind of a rough time. And that's definitely been most of this year, except for Dragon's Dogma. But I bought Harold Halibut, the game, because I was seeing some stuff on some places. And I am almost done with it. I've been playing it pretty slowly, like, because it's not a game that makes you feel like you have to urgently finish it. But it's a very interesting game. It's from a solo developer. I guess you just call them a video game developer. But the thing is that I've learned as I've looked more into this game is he didn't know how to code 3D, like do 3D objects on a computer. That was one of the reasons why he started to just 3D map the clay sculptures of what he wanted. And then from there, animated it more like a movie than a video game. And then had more people come in and help him make it more of an actual like video game and not 100% bespoke clay. But the thing is, there's a lot of actual real 3D mapped art in this game. The way the characters move is very stop motion animation-y. And that is a really interesting thing. And it's also just like Harold Halibut is one of those characters in video games. One of my favorite archetypes of video game characters in this type of walking simulator game, where he's just effectively just a really good person that is deeply interested in understanding the people around him, but not, he's not a blank slate, or because he is the character that talks, but he's like, that's like a really, I think like for games like this, it's one of my favorite types of characters because it usually creates a lot of like kindness, and I like kind video games. Like there's some of my like video games where the story is about mostly being kind to the people around you, I think is always a story I'm interested in hearing about, especially when it's an interesting sci-fi, like retro futuristic sci-fi lay on to a story like that about a community and like what being a community means. And like a little bit of mystery, a little bit of wonder. And it just looks insane.
Yeah, it looks nuts. I'm like looking at
it. It literally looks like you're playing a stop motion clay animation movie. Like,
that's cool.
Which is really, really cool. The dude has been making it for like 12 years, 14 years. Like, it's like these things are not easy to do. Video games and also, clay animation and stop motion animation. but there's a fair warning. Clunky as all get out.
I mean,
like, it's just, it's brutal to walk around in it, like, even with the little amount of gameplay there actually is.
I can't imagine. Like,
and then there's like pop in. It's like there's a lot of like tedium. It's like a walking simulator in the truest sense of the word, where it's like, for real, like the only thing I have to do is basically go to four different places that all have like just like mostly an empty hallway to walk down to get to the places. You know what I mean? It's like one of those. Yeah. But I think like really interesting story, really like beautiful voice acting, like really beautiful voice acting. The main guy is just incredible and doing very little. Like it's very, he's very realism. And then some of the characters are a little more kooky, but it's a beautiful game to play. I think it's a really interesting conversation it has with its sci-fi tilt and what happens in the story that I wouldn't want to spoil.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested
in this. And it's like cheap. It's like It might be even PlayStation Plus free.
It's for sure on Game Pass.
So it's really, really neat. It's like one of those games where you could just like over the course of a couple months, like start with like 20 minutes of this game if you wanted, or you could probably like play it if you weren't trying to like look at every little thing, because I definitely have like padded my playing time by just like literally looking in every nook and cranny and talking to every person, because I'm like, how far does this guy, did he push this game?
But
it's like a game you could just like check in, or you could probably play it 3 or 4 individual couple hour sessions
and you're crushing out. Yeah,
crush it out. It's not too long, but really, really cool. Like so far, like one of the only kind of indie games I've played this year that I would consider like truly, truly, this is an indie game. And so like, I'm like, this is really, really interesting. Really enjoyed
it. That's cool.
It.
Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely recommend it. And then Danny, to go a little bit Hades, like I'm playing Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
That got lots of good reviews. And so far it sounds like you're liking it.
So it was 50% off. Like, I think it was recently like $20. So I grabbed it because that was what I thought. Oh boy, Danny, is it tight. It is a tight video game. Like, it is it. The controls are truly like some of the snappiest platforming like I've ever felt. Like, it really feels... It feels good.
That's what
to navigate the world. And surprisingly, there is a good amount of environmental challenge in terms of puzzles that you are trying to solve to like get out or get to places. And then also actual puzzles that you're trying to solve. But then also just like there is some really tough platforming sections where you really have to like nail like 15 to 20 moves in a row with no, like, you really can't make a mistake or you're dead. Like, it's not an exceedingly hard game, but it's not an exceedingly easy game. Like,
good challenge. Real challenge.
It's like a very good, like, Metroidvania, like, game. It's like, I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it's filling my Silk Song hole right now.
Whoa!
Like, in the sense of, like, it's a good Metroidvania that is, like, hitting on all of the things. The story is kind of, like, I'm, like, I don't even, that none of the story has like, really filled my head. But moment to moment, I'm having a blast, and it's fun. It's just so, like, it is hard to explain how snappy the control that you have of the character. It's really, really well done.
I love
super clear,
a tight controlled Metroidvania platformer, man. That's the goods. That scratches the brain.
It's good stuff. So highly recommend it. I would trade you for your computer in Hades too, though. And you can have Prince of Persia. Think about that.
No. Okay.
So Microsoft.
Oh man, we go from the good news to the bad news.
I know. Also, the idea of us talking about stuff that we're like doing and liking is because we can too easily find things
that's
that make
true.
Us upset.
That's true.
And
we,
I don't know if it's
our
good
minds
for us.
Sometimes. No. Microsoft just announced that they are shutting down 3 studios that were part of the Activision, not the Activision, but it was the ZeniMax Bethesda acquisition from a couple of years ago. Arcane Lyon and
Arcane Austin?
And Arcane Austin. The Tango Gameworks Game Studios that just did Hi-Fi Rush last year. I think that's like the big, big one. And then the studio
they
did,
literally talked about being a huge success for the studio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They like said,
it literally were like it was
it,
a huge success.
It outpaced everything we wanted.
Outpaced,
like we made money.
It's
hardcore.
We made
on
this, money on
this,
slam all dunk. Of that stuff. And and then Microsoft just shut that down. Honestly, I think it's just really baffling, right? Because like we've talked about how like consolidation is coming, it's happening. But we didn't like we've been on we've been saying probably not a good thing for anything to consolidate like to this degree, right? And it's going to continue to happen. This is one outcome that I wasn't really expecting that much, because these are successful. Some of these are successful studios. Yeah. And even though one of the Arkane studios that did Redfall, but that's still on Microsoft for like releasing that in the state that it was, instead of like, hey, let's just give them another 6 months, polish this, make this better, make this serviceable at the very least. You will get an audience.
Yeah. And like, and remember, this is also, they had already gotten rid of 1,900 employees across Xbox Game Studios and Activision Blizzard. So they all, it was already like they gutted their biggest cash cow, Activision Blizzard. Like, and then now they're like getting rid of these studios that they paid an insane amount of money for. You know what I mean? It's not like they bought these studios for no money.
It's wild because the whole arguments about like Game Pass, and for a while I was like, nah, I think Game Pass is actually successful after all. After my initial claim of like, I don't think this is going to work long term. I might be reverting to that opinion because it's turning out that it's not working. Turns out that the shareholders are like, not enough money is coming in here. Subscriber growth continues to be flat.
Same thing about general streaming.
Yeah, yes.
Like general streaming is going through these same problems right now.
Same thing.
Where it's like, there's too many of us. Like, that's like basically what like Paramount Plus, Paramount is saying, like, hey, buy us. There's too many of us, but like, we got all this fucking content. Like, let's just roll me in. Like, that's what they're all doing, which is similar to what's happening with game studios. And it's like, this model doesn't work for the people who make the stuff, for sure, is what it's really just turning out to be.
Bananas.
And eventually,
bananas.
If it's not good for all the people that make the stuff, then you won't even have the stuff. That's the tough part of this whole equation is like, so basically, the investment that this company made in all of these studios, shuttering them, is effectively saying, hey, like, take all of the people that we also got in like purchasing these studios, the talent that actually made the things, those people are now going somewhere else too. It's like a double bad investment.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like giving up after effectively one game max per studio after acquiring them. It's like, why would you even buy them then?
And it's like,
okay, so PlayStation didn't have them.
It's wild because the value in the IP is like, it's only valuable if like you have an IP to use in the first place. And they said they're refocusing all their resources to higher priority, bigger ticket item games. So basically, they're just funneling everything into like their Call of Duties and what? The cash cows that are already cash cows?
And it's like,
we're throwing more developers at Fallout 5.
Yeah. And then somehow, I feel like they're going to blame like... they're not even going to blame any of the games we're talking about. They're going to blame, like, what is that? Tales of Avion, Immortals of Avion,
yeah.
Like the $200 million write down that whatever studio was that Sony straight up or whoever made that?
That's Sony.
Where it's just like, let's try a big, huge budget game because those always work. But it's like, you know, diminishing returns, but that's, you know, long term thinking.
It's. I almost wanted to like, hey, let's re-up on the console wars done joke from a few months ago or last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, I mean, this is just depressing, actually, man. I don't even want to like, this sucks.
It just seems I was looking at some news and like some independent game studio people were like, this is why we never sell y'all, like it's this stuff, like we can't maybe. It's like, with money comes strings. Like, that's the thing that, like, because game studios, I think it's really an interesting type of company.
Strange. Yeah, yeah.
Because they do naturally come together and break apart, I think, quicker than any other type of company that I know of, at least. Like, how often it's like, we're a game studio, but we really just were trying to make this game, and now we're maybe not a game studio. Like, and or we're a collective of people working together on a thing to actually make sure we can pay each other. We're a game studio now, but like, we're not like a studio it's only for us.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, there's those ones, but.
Well, it's inherently like you just spend money developing. Yeah. And then you release and then you hope it sells well.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the, you get like a single window of like when you make money.
Yeah.
And then you go back.
But it's almost like because of the idea that game studios kind of do ebb and flow maybe a little bit more than a lot of other types of companies.
Yeah.
That like when they buy a bunch of them, they're just like, whatever, we still own your intellectual property, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah.
In all of these cases. So it's like, so we're just, as this huge $3 trillion company, like, we're just doing the thing you guys always do. You just, like, go play somewhere else. Like, and so, like, that's how they're treating it. It's almost like because the industry was this kind of, this is, it's like a blob that, like, comes together, goes apart, comes together, goes apart. And, like, I don't think anybody loved that, but it was part of the identity of, like, game studios.
Well, and then they were, for a long time, up until, like, this last generation and a half, just games didn't take 10 years to make.
Yeah.
You cranked them out every 2 years. Think about the space between, like, GTA, like, 3 to 5, and how many GTAs were released then. And obviously, that's Rockstar.
Not
a little
fair
bit
when you're talking about
Rockstar. Sure. But, like... But a lot of these studios weren't that big when they first started, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. you think about...
Well, no, studios used to release, like small studios would release, like, 7 games a year.
Yeah.
Like they would be, like, shitting out all sorts of stuff.
Just trying, like, different things. See, yeah. Like, they were like, yeah, I want to try this thing. And then they made
effectively,
it. Effectively,
they were, like, kind of diversifying their own portfolios. Like, they would do stuff for, like, oh, I'll do the Pepsi game, but I'll also make... this classic, because often that's like those would go hand in hand. I think now it's like everything is so, every studio is on the edge of ruin.
It's the idea of
money and the idea, basically they're being sold stability is like what all of these studios are being sold.
And then they're not even getting that. And they're not even getting that.
Exactly. They're literally like, and I hope like, there's a world where people that are in studios figure out a different way of finding that stability, because it's very clear when someone sucks you up like this in the gaming industry, no matter what they're telling you, it's not stability. But hey, maybe a bunch of people when they sold made a lot of money that were at that company for 10 years and maybe it doesn't hurt as bad, but I doubt it's the majority of the people that worked that are going to be affected.
Right.
Like, best case scenario, it's like 10% of the company, you know, had a good time. Worst case scenario, it's one person.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
it's still not great. Yeah. Did you see they also rolled out a new controller, a special Fire Vapor special edition Xbox controller. And they titled this article, "Feel the Burn Today." They quickly renamed it to Introducing This.
Well, I mean,
controller.
I did buy a couple of them. I bought some. If I don't, Danny, they'll close down more. I bought a Windows 11 license. I don't have a PC. I got to help.
You love helping.
Bill Gates.
It's not even Bill Gates anymore. It's
whatever.
Natia, whatever.
Hey, not my CEO.
It's
brutal.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah.
Speaking of tough stuff to talk about, Danny is going to force me to talk more about this rap beef. But like, I honestly, Danny, like, we can't go more than 5 minutes here. 5 to 10. Danny, it's got to stop.
It's done. It's
because
done.
Guess what, Danny?
It's done.
Someone maybe got shot, maybe, but also the internet instantly was like, Drake did it. Drake did it. Like, instantly it was like, no, this is a plant. Drake did it. And I'm like, okay.
Hold up.
These are supposed to stay in the songs.
Yeah,
y'all.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. You guys made it not fun.
Well, I would argue it's been not fun since like Friday night.
It's been not fun the whole time because it's pretty serious stuff. It's not just being like, you know, like again, going back to Nas and Ether. It's like, I just think Jay-Z's stupid and I hate him. That's it. And I think he's ugly and stupid.
Jay-Z's 35 in a karate class.
I want him dead. But he sucks. He's such a loser. Like, that's all it was. That's it wasn't oh, being man. Like, hey, basically, FBI, like, investigate something.
It's
like someone in this situation investigate some part of all of these words.
The look, for a while on Friday, I had a really fun time because I thought Euphoria was really good. I thought Push-Ups was solid from Drake. I thought Euphoria was like, man, we're getting some bars from Kendrick. And I'm like, I'm excited if he's actually rolling out an album this year. And then he hits us on Friday morning with a signature Drake move of going back-to-back diss tracks before the other person responds and hits him with 616 in L.A., which I thought was also pretty solid, a really, really fun beat. Not quite as, like, hard, but it was very much like, don't do this. Don't do this.
It did feel like a plea.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
So people are like, oh my God, where's Drake? Where's Drake? Where's Drake? And he effectively did bait him out. And then Drake rolls out an entire music video. An entire music video of him crushing the Good Kid, Mad City van, which actually wasn't the Good Kid, Mad City van. He got the wrong van, which I think is hilarious and kind of like just is a perfect amalgamation of like this entire beef from his side, at least. So he got the wrong minivan and he crushed it, but the imagery was like, damn, he's kind of going in a little bit. I thought the bars were, some of it was good, some of it was bad.
Which one's this one?
This is Family Matters.
Family Matters, okay.
Some of it good, some of it fine. And then he also did like, he should have just focused on Kendrick, because he also went back to The Weeknd and Rick Ross and A$AP Rocky a little bit. I'm like, okay, dude, you already did this on Push-Ups. Like, just focus on Kendrick. Let's go. And then it gets really weird. He says, hey, one of your kids isn't yours. And then he closes out the song like, you are beating your wife.
Yep.
And then coming out of that one, I was like, ooh, this is tough.
It definitely became fully not fun to be really on either of these
yeah,
sides
yeah, yeah. It
at
was
that
like,
point.
This
if any of it's is, true, at that right, point, if right, any of it's true,
right,
for what either of them have said, this is all just bad.
Yeah,
and then Meet the Gramps.
And then an hour later, not even an hour later, like 30 minutes later, he drops
it was
Meet
like
the 30, Gramps.
Yeah.
And it completely pulls the sale, completely took the wind out of the sales of Family Matters. Completely.
Because
it was the wildest
it
thing.
It literally ties in to Euphoria and to 616 and 616 in LA, where he's basically like, seriously, man, you got leaks. He said that in those songs. He was like, dude, people aren't for you. Like, don't do it. I know what you're going to do. And then
he literally proves it. He's got some receipts. The daughter thing is still, jury's out there. It does sound like it's fake, but jury's still out technically on that one. But to title it like Meet the Grams after Family Matters, I think for sure effectively proved that he had a leak, because this song was ready to go.
It was ready to go.
Pre-recorded. It was already uploaded. By the time Drake had Family Matters up, it was uploaded. And here's why I think everything else, because then he like it's hard. Like the moment that song starts, like the beat is kind of eerie. It's a hard listen if you go back. I'm like, I don't really want to go back to this one, because this kind of sucks to listen to from like a, I don't know, like a music fan standpoint, right? Because it's like, it's really eerie. The subject matter is really dark. He's right away goes Dear Adonis. The moment he does that, I was like,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is going to
yeah.
be he's rough.
I mean, he's like, he basically is saying like, I told you I'm going to scorch earth it. And now I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
But then also less than 24 hours later, he drops another song.
Not like, which was wild. I was like, what is wrong with this man? He's crazy. Not Like Us. And then that one starts up and it's like, oh, he went fun beat with this one. He's like, oh, you bastards wanted
That's
a club banger.
At first,
here
yeah.
you go. And this is the one where I straight up call Drake a pedophile.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, you should be shot in the head, like overtly.
And
it
I was like,
that was, I was like, okay. So Danny, we actually haven't talked about the last song,
yeah.
which is
no.
The Heart.
The Heart Part 6. Yeah.
Part 6.
Clever song title. I will say, like, hey, went clever with it at least.
I actually listened to this before you had posted it, I think, before you like texted. And at first, and this was, it was a pretty late night drop, right?
Yeah, it was kind of late in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, it was the weekend. So I was probably after a couple of beers. But as I was listening to it, I was like, it's a good flow.
And it's like, it's the best flow he's had this entire time, I think.
And he is, in a lot of ways, like he, I was like, he is trying to be like, I'm definitely not a pedophile. And like, until you sent me, or I looked it up on the internet at all, I was like, well, I guess like if I was called a pedophile, I would be like, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, cause what else would you, the other, I mean, you can't not say something.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? It's like one of those things where it's like most of the time in rap beefs, they don't really address.
Yeah. You don't play on defense
but
at
it's
all.
Like,
yeah.
But if someone's like, hey, you're a pedophile, like for like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. Like straight up, you know, going in.
Like,
yeah.
To be honest, at that time, I was actually starting to be like feeling for Drake about this, because I'm like, well, if Drake isn't like a weird person, and maybe he, let's just say, like, let's think of the best version of the situations we understand to be Drake.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, he is just a super famous person who kind of got famous when he was kind of young on Degrassi. And maybe there's something where it made sense. They connected at an event because she wanted to meet Drake. You know what I mean? It's like totally innocent.
Yeah.
And he's actually just a really, really nice guy who just did that. And like, I've mentored a high schooler. You know what I mean? Like at my work, I've mentored someone. How do you mentor a superstar?
At your work.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to read it.
Yes, yes.
As
from
positively
that
as I can. I guess it makes sense to do a song and say quite a few times, I'm not a pedophile.
I am
but
not.
The internet.
I am not.
Instantly was like, because you said it, it's true. And that's where I'm like, I don't know if like that is the only takeaway I could have from this rap beef, because it's like you can't not respond to
I think it's repeatedly saying it. I think you have like, I think if he had structured the bar, the thing is there's a bunch of stuff where it didn't work. A lot of bars just did not work. And it's like, okay, he's getting out rapped, and also he clearly made this in a rush. It felt, here's my thing. I think money's involved now. I think the labels are now like, hey, Kendrick, we can't be having literally the second biggest artist in the world have these allegations towards him if they're not true. You are messing with money now, with advertisers, with music releases, multiple executives from distribution companies, like verified distribution companies are like, we have pushed off releases because of this.
Yeah.
This cannot be top of mind as we're releasing a Drake song on a Camila Cabello song.
Yeah. But I will say, though, like. But on the other side.
But on the other side,
that's the thing. Like, that's the problem with this rap beef is like, I can like, because I don't like Drake. I've never liked his music, except basically everything that Kendrick has said about his music that he likes is what I like. Like, literally, it's as if some of the bars were my brain's thoughts the whole time with Drake that no one seemed to like be OK with, where I'm like, no, I just like it when he's being like real goofy. And like just saying like, baby girl, like that's what I like. I was like, I think he's really good at that. Like, and like that's what I think that's his lane. Like, go for it. Like, you know, if he didn't do that, Lil Yachty wouldn't exist. You wouldn't have your Pink Floyd album.
No, I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't. No, Lil Yachty's like straight up a big one. When he said I like Drake with the melodies. I don't like Drake when he act tough. I immediately thought of you. I was like, that's so funny. That's so funny. But that was on Euphoria. This was before all of this. This was before.
Yeah, but then it's like, but if him being weird, both publicly and seemingly, like concerts are weird, vague public things where it's like kind of intimate, kind of not.
A lot of,
that's like those are the big ones that we know about.
There's some videos, some old videos surfacing pre-beef,
yes.
And I will say pre-beef,
yes, pre-beef.
Of
he's
all,
like kissing,
all that stuff. Kissing
a 17-year-old
on
like,
stage, and now she's 31. She's like, it's not what it looks like. I'm like, you can say that, and you have every right to say that. It's still weird for him to have done
it's
that.
Just it's interesting choices, but at the same point, it's like,
The thing,
there's nothing actually there, there's nothing actually there. And then now that actual physical violence is probably related to it because one of Drake's security guards got shot.
Well, and this is where we get into the speculation stuff.
Truly, yeah, we have no fucking idea.
No clue.
Because instantly the internet was like, Drake did it.
Well, and I didn't realize over the weekend also one of or the weekend's manager, his security guard was shot.
Right. And yeah.
And we know the weekend and Drake have beef too. So it's like, okay, this is
Canada.
Yeah, this is getting, we should stop now for sure. But goddamn, Friday night, I didn't do anything. I stayed in on Friday night. Just like, just because I stayed in. Like, I wasn't thinking about any of this. I was just like, I'm not really doing anything. I'm going to spend a lot of money this weekend, probably in New York. So I'm like, save some cash, save some spending and drinking cash. And then we're watching TV and like, oh shit, Drake drop. I got to go check this out real quick. And I remember coming out of the room. And I told Lily, like, he said some real shit here. Like if Kendrick's doing this, this sucks. This is bad. The family stuff is like, whatever. Shit happens all the time. I don't really care about that. But the wife thing, like if you're actually putting your hands on her, like not good. And then 30 minutes later, I was like, what the fuck is happening? What is happening? The frenzy online and everything. It just escalated. We finished listening to that song and Lily was like, I don't think this is fun anymore. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. This is weird.
And I think like that is kind of the problem overall with the internet is the thing that is, this is why we can't have nice things. Like it really, it's truly like that is, I think, the most salient quote about the internet that truly, has ever truly. Existed in meme form, where it's just like, we were all having fun. Then someone decided to make it real and shoot people. Come on.
Yeah.
Like that's the main problem of the internet is too often it gets people to shoot people.
And the
way too often.
The wild
like
thing.
Like every single conflict that's happening, like basically in the entire world, started currently on the internet.
Yeah.
Like all of them that are active right now, like all of them started because of the internet manipulating people to do things.
It's
keep it on there.
So wild to think that we are also in a timeline where it's possible, not out of the realm of possibility, that this is a fan that's being too weird. And it's also fake, or it could be fake. There's so many. It's like, it's everywhere. The PR, it's crazy. Here's the thing. It's crazy to me. Because coming into this, like after like that, so I was like, okay, I think Drake's going to respond. Or I didn't think he was going to respond, and then he did. I was like, okay, bar for bar coming into this, I don't think he can really hold a candle to Kendrick, to be quite honest.
Also, just
but
like...
he was like, in my brain,
it's
like...
The internet likes Kendrick more than Drake. Even though Drake is more liked overall.
Well, but he has the ears of the teens and the younger crowd. The younger crowd are Drake fans. Because they're Travis Scott fans. So I thought on the popularity contest side, Drake's probably going to win this no matter what. And it's just going to have to come down to the bars. And then people that really like hip hop and appreciate it will like be able to like really say, okay, I think blow for blow, bar for bar, here's how it stacks up. I did not anticipate the funny bars that we got from Kendrick because some of it is legit hilarious. What is it? The braids? I've been saying in my head
he's
for
having
a while.
He's having a good time.
hey, run for your lives is wild. They're playing this song on the NBA playoffs. It's been on TNT already. It's been at the Dodgers game this weekend. It's played everywhere. And it's like, he lost a popularity battle that I was not expecting from him to. We were talking about the implication of like Drake using AI and TaylorMade Freestyle and like what that meant for the music industry. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about like, is this actually, you know, tarnishing Drake's reputation entirely? And I think it might be.
I mean, it's hard to say because it's like, what, like, does anything happen next? Because honestly, the main problem has already blown over. Because if the rap beef blows over and nothing else comes from it,
yeah,
it's over. So like, yeah.
It is so over. It is over.
More people know the thing that a bunch of people already knew, which is Drake has some weird situations with very like young women that to just reading the facts as it sounds like they are feels icky.
Well, it's like
at the very least, it feels icky.
In my brain, in my brain, it's like it's. I think the best case scenario here, out of looking at all of this from the outside, he does very groomer things. That's not outright like evidence on like anything beyond that.
He does the thing that like all of the like indie rock dudes that got. It's like the exact same thing.
Similar
that, like,
things. Same
like
thing.
Like 75% of every indie rock guy that got in the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
Where they would like be like Instagram messaging someone, realize they're like 16 or 17, and then just talk to them until they're 18 and then hang out with them, which is disgusting.
Yes, yes. Still
But all
bad.
Of those people don't get to make music anymore.
It's still
like
bad.
Literally all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
So it's like that's where it's like at best case, that's why I think a lot of this holds a little bit more weight from those allegations than the Kendrick side of it. And I think that's also partly why, quote unquote, he won this battle, because the evidence is out there. Like the evidence of like him moving weird and moving like a groomer is out there.
Yeah.
Is he actually a pedophile? I don't know. I think there's no way to tell right now.
Go ahead.
The biggest problem that I have with Kendrick right now is like, obviously, like, I think we need someone to like clear or just say something about like, is he actually, you know, abusing his wife? I think like it would make me feel better to be like, if she came out like, no, it's fine. But then it's like they get coerced. Women get coerced to like say that all the time. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It feels weird. But also here, and then the last point I'll make.
Domestic violence is a supremely complicated thing to navigate.
Yeah. And then lastly, I know it's just bars and just song, but like Kendrick, if you actually have evidence of some of this stuff that you're alleging, why did you imply that you'd shut up and go make it go away if Drake didn't talk about your family? Like, why wouldn't you actually go to the authorities or something? Like,
also,
it gets really weird.
The other part is, Kendrick, like, if you're actually somehow connected to having someone like shoot up Drake's mansion, if that's related to this or if it's related to any type of rap beef that one of these artists in some way insinuated should actually happen outside of music, where they're like, yeah, screw that person, like legitimately I'm saying do this.
Yeah,
dude, that's the dumbest thing to go to, like why, like you're a rich person, shut
ridiculous
the fuck
to
up.
Get go
like that's the thing it, yeah. Like if this actually is turned into a real life thing, then every part of the situation is, oh, so like when you get too famous, you just truly lose your shit a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's like, yo, Kendrick, like if you are implicated in shooting someone, no one's going to remember all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's like your toughness ruined your life. And it's just
wild.
That's a tough, just like, there's so many people that are male identifying that ruin their lives based on toughness. You know,
it's that toxic masculinity.
I know,
man.
I know, but it's like
toxic masculinity.
It's like,
all
it's
the
just
time.
Like, it's like, dude, no one cares if anybody's tough, really. Like when you're dead, no one's going to be like, dude, tough guy though. But he's dead now. Not that tough. Because you're going to die anyways. You're not that tough.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just machismo is a very, very dangerous thing.
Oh, it's so dumb. It's
and it
so
makes
dumb.
People do really, so really dumb. Stupid things. And I'm glad that we're in our low T stage of life.
Truly, truly.
You know, because I couldn't even possibly think about physical violence.
Yeah.
I'm about to throw up just because I haven't eaten enough food today.
I have to take a Tums before I have pizza now.
Yeah, so you
that's where I am.
No
okay?
worries about little old me. Over
look,
here.
Man, it's. I'm glad. Like on one hand, at the very least, the Drake that came out for some of this half, at least for the first half of this, I was like, this is what made me turn on him a little bit when I was young. Because I was a very certified Drake hater as he was coming up. I was like, this dude sucks. Sing song shit. I don't like this. This isn't hip hop for me, and it's not really doing anything for me. And then when he had a couple of tracks that like where he went at bars, the beef with Meek Mill, and when he dropped Back to Back, I'm like, okay, all right, he can do this. He actually can do this, and this is good. Give me more of this. Some of that came out this past week, and I was like,
yeah. It's the tough part of a rap beef, and I think we do need to wrap this up.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of, because this is past our limit, but one of the things about a rap beef is there's few things better than like aggressively saying words to a beat that sound good together. Like, because I think like fast, impassioned rap is like some of my favorite shit. Like, I'm not into the like Zan rap as much.
Right.
Like, where it's like more spacey. Not that I think it's bad. It's just, I think it's like really interesting when people are able to do that.
Like, and going, like, yeah.
Put their emotions into quick rhymey words in that way. So it's fun to see that part of it. But then it's like, yeah, what if you just did, just like do like a Run the Jewels style album, Drake, like where you're just like, I'm just going to talk about how cool I am only.
Yeah.
Like, just have like a victory lap album so you can like do some hard bars. Same thing with Kendrick, which we've been saying
We've been saying this before Mr. Morale. Like, we're like, oh, yeah. Just, it's come like, on.
Just give us another bangers, like a bangers album. And it's like, unfortunately, I hope we all get through this part so that we can get that.
Because otherwise,
it'll be like another person I don't listen to because I don't like to support artists who are absolute. Clear
bad
domestic abusers or bad people.
Straight bad people. I'll say it, and we'll close out here. I will stop listening to Kendrick if any of this is true. I have no problem with this. Like, dude, I don't know this guy. I don't know any of them.
I've stopped listening to bands I like more than Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. So there's that. But also, if Kendrick going down at the expense of Drake going down is the cost, I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's like, it's literally like, it's like a kaiju fight, man. It really feels like
Godzilla
versus Mothman, man.
If you know, you came to me like, hey, Drake gone, no more music from him. But also it means Kendrick's also down. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I take that 100% of the time is how much of a hater I am.
You heard it here first.
All right.
Bye.